The following is a For Vengeance Media production.
The sport we love is undergoing a shift.
What a beauty!
Borders are breaking down. Some might say disappearing.
Huge goal.
And the freedom to choose is gaining momentum.
J-P-H-L
Through
history.
It all, players are better than ever at all levels.
Oh!
From youth hockey to the best junior leagues and the highest level, the game is reaching new heights.
Score!
Presented by For Vengeance Media, this is Game Changers, the home of hockey. On Silent Ice TV.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Game Changers, episode number 26 on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Big game tonight as the Spruce Grove Saints open up their wild card playoff series against the Okotoks Oilers. Dean Millard alongside for this one. My name is Brandon DeWancheshen, and Tyler Woke will be on the call tonight as well from Okotoks. And like a game day preview, Dino, the biggest broadcast of the season tonight, maybe that. Rivaling that of the JPHL championships, but the biggest game for sure for Spruce Grove later on this evening.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. We've chatted about this. The smell in the air is different when the playoffs are around. You're going to the rink in just a jacket. You're coming out and it's sunshine. I mean, it really is the best time to be around the game of hockey. You see the best type of hockey played. And like you said, we're going to get a bit of a preview here as Rob Sklaruk, the GM of the Spruce Grove Saints, will join us on the program. Before that, we'll get to our top five stories in hockey. But Rob is also much more than just the GM with the Saints. He's obviously heavily involved in Silent Ice Sports and Entertainment as the VP of Hockey Development. So lots to talk to Rob about and lots of changes this season for a guy like Rob who has, you know, had to navigate between two different leagues. And one of them, you can affiliate a lot of players. Another one, you can affiliate only a few players. So it's been an education for a lot of people, including five junior GMs in the BCHL, new to the BCHL, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. You'll hear from Rob, too. He thinks it was the right move for his players, his staff. But more on that when we talk to Robbie later on in the show. And like you said, I mean, playoff time is just something different in the air. You know, you eat, sleep, breathe hockey until the playoff run is, so to speak, over. For Spruce Grove, a five-gamer, a Wednesday in Okotoks tonight. Tomorrow, Thursday, back in Spruce Grove for Game 2. Saturday, back in Okotoks for Game 3. And then we'll see what happens after that. Game 4 would be at the Grant Fear on Monday the 15th. And then Game 5, if it does get to that point, back in Okotoks on Tuesday night. That'll be April 16th. So potentially five games here between episodes of Game Changers, which is quite crazy to fathom. A quick turnaround for these teams. And not easy travel either. It is a 3.5-hour bus trip one way. Spruce Grove going early. Already in Okotoks as of Tuesday night, but then a tough travel schedule throughout the rest of the series as it's a lot of back-to-backs. And usually, Dino, you see game one and two be played in one rink and then three and four in the other, but because it's a five-gamer, they're splitting up the series accordingly. You know, would you like to see one and two in Okotoks and 3-4 back in Spruce Grove? And I do understand that doesn't guarantee the Saints a fourth game or a second home game, but it doesn't matter because they might only get one anyway. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, either scenario, they're not guaranteed two home games because, you know, they could win it in three or Okotoks obviously could either. I like 2-2-1. I think it's just easier for both teams to settle in for back-to-back games in one arena rather than going travel or game, travel for one team. So I like the 2-2-1. And you know what? That's also, hey, let's win this next game because we get another home game or whatever it might be. You could use the same scenario for both series. But I would just like to see both teams settle in. But I understand with it being a five-game series, the scenario. But yeah, you're right. It's a back-to-back with travel involved. So, you know, for the Saints, they're down there now. Do they come back after? What does Okotoks? There's a lot of logistics that have to be sorted out in this situation. And listen, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. And just a little preview, you're going to get a little breaking news when it comes to the Saints goaltending situation a little bit later with Rob Sklaruk. So this show comes out at 5 a.m. You're getting a real sneak peek teaser and a big breaking news story at 5 a.m. Mountain Time on who the Saints starting goaltender will be. We'll leave that for Rob, but this is going to be excellent. Looking forward to traveling down as a broadcast crew with yourself and Wokey. And, you know, this is when you really, you know, they say teams bond on the road. You have a lot of fun on road trips, especially in the playoffs when you know the hockey is going to be as good as it is.
Yeah, the stakes are ultimately at their highest they've ever been. So lots of fun. And to your travel point, you know, there's no right answer. Do you go a day early and win? Do you go the same day and lose? Like, who knows? You know, you're not going to really know the right answer to that. But let's get into the top five stories here today on For Vengeance Media's Game Changers. If you're watching on Silent Ice TV, fantastic. If not, glad you're tuning in on wherever you get your podcasts. And Dino, the first story in this week's top five, well, we're going to go all the way to the East Coast, nearly the East Coast, and Sidney Crosby and the Penguins entered Tuesday night tied with Detroit for the final wild card spot, 1 point back of the Islanders for the final playoff spot in the Metropolitan Division. And credit Sidney Crosby here, Dean. This guy has been in the league for quite some time now. There was some thought that maybe his time in the postseason has been gone. Should they trade him? Should they put him on a team that's going to make the playoffs? There was rumors about him going to his fellow native of Cole Harbour and Nathan MacKinnon. That would be awful for Oilers fans. That would be a powerhouse in the West. But I give a lot of credit here to Crosby and the job he's done to almost lead this team into the postseason once again.
Yeah, this is a wild story that I did not think we would be talking about this season. You know, I didn't think there was a team that was going to be able to come from within the pack. But, you know, here are the Penguins. They start out with four straight victories in April. They lose in overtime to the Leafs. And so they've gotten points in every game they've played so far in April. They ended March with four straight games. So yeah, I think Sidney Crosby heard the rumbles and of people saying, well, Father Time is undefeated and that is caught up, and here he goes out and throws another point per game season out there. And as you know, there's other guys making this happen too, but he has willed them, put them on his back, carrying them into the playoffs. This after they traded Jake Guentzel. They've had a terribly disappointing season. And the NHL, no offense to the New York Islanders or the Detroit Red Wings, but Gary Bettman should be on his knees thanking or praying to whoever he prays to that Sidney Crosby gets into the postseason. I mean, the NHL needs this guy in the playoffs. So, listen, I don't really cheer for anybody except for the Jets. I usually don't care whatever else happens. But for the sake of the league and the fact that I want to see one of the best players, you know, top five, seven all-time, Hall of Famer, of course, I want to see this guy in the playoffs. I want to see Malkin. Remember, Malkin won their very first Conn Smythe. So I want to see some of these guys in the playoffs. And Detroit's had a great run, and that's a good story, a good revival. But it shouldn't come, for me, at the expense of Sidney Crosby. So I hope it happens just to be able to see, you know, the best player at the best time playing the game. We'll see. You know, the other thing is, it's like Sean Bell said about his U18 team in the final. They got to sixth gear. They couldn't get to seventh gear. Can Sidney Crosby get to seventh gear, which it might take to get into the playoffs? They're tied going into action tonight. You know, you get there, you get tied, can you get over that hump? So we'll see if it happens, but it's fun. It's been fun to watch. It's like when people said, oh, Crosby's just an assist guy, McDavid's just an assist guy, then they go out and score 50. You tell these guys they can't do something, and it's going to make them work even harder.
Yeah, it's insane, the talent level of these guys, and more on talent level in a moment. We spoke about Jake Guentzel in the trade when it happened. We said, what does that say to the rest of the room in Pittsburgh? about where they think their team's going to go in the future. Well, Crosby, among other things, proving that wrong, as they're now so close to winning the hardest game just to get into the postseason. All right, to some talent and some exceptional talent in Landon Dupont, who was granted exceptional status on Monday by the Western Hockey League and Hockey Canada. But Dupont did spend a couple years in the Hockey Super League. He played 78 games with Spartan Hockey Academy, 82 goals, 106 helpers, 188 points in just a few seasons. Only the second player ever to be granted exceptional status, behind, of course, Connor Bedard, but the first defenseman ever granted exceptional status. And Dino, my goodness, we don't see this very often, and now we're seeing it twice in just a couple seasons. You know, this is like a lifetime, once in a lifetime thing, and now we're seeing it just a couple years apart from Bedard to DuPont. I've watched DuPont. You've watched DuPont. I believe you called some of his games. What do you make of the announcement on Monday? Pretty cool for Mickey and his family.
Yeah, this is a phenomenal announcement for the DuPont family, and I think a feather in the cap of Tyler Woke and a lot of the fine people, Steven Gertzen, and the hard work that has been done with the Hockey Super League and setting this up. I'm going to make a hindsight prediction. If the JPHL is where it is now, I think Landon Dupont goes from the HSL to the JPHL. He did go to a different stream, and obviously Edge deserves a lot of credit for what they've done, but so does the Hockey Super League in developing this guy. And it's going to be interesting. Aaron Ekblad is the only other defenseman throughout Canada Sean Day and Aaron Ekblad are the two guys, and one has worked out really well, obviously Ekblad. Sean Day, not so well. This is going to be good. Landon Dupont is exceptional for sure. The only player I've ever seen score two shorthanded goals on the same penalty kill. Remember, this guy's a defenseman. Like, I don't know how that happens in any level. It was exceptional, obviously. And this is going to be interesting. So we have Bedard. Now we have DuPont. What will Hockey Canada look at with Liam Pugh in the future, who is potentially the first overall pick or a very high pick next year in the Western Hockey League? I can tell you that Hockey Canada has watched Liam Pugh play, despite him playing in the JPHL, but there are some early evaluations being done on if he can do that. So this is obviously a family decision, like the DuPont family, the Bedard family. The Savoy family looked into this, but there were some questions about whether if he was going to play in the Western Hockey League or go to college. So Hockey Canada is not giving an exceptional status to a player that then goes and plays in the NCAA. There's no way that is going to happen. So this is really cool. Defensemen do, that's the only thing I worry about, but everybody I've talked to has told me, do not worry. And the family has a professional background. So I think everything is in the right spot when it comes to Landon Dupont right now for his future. And I think his past in the Hockey Super League is one of the reasons that he is reaching this exceptional status. So a good story all around, I think.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you mentioned Tyler Woke and Steven Gertzen and those guys, the job that they do, they deserve a lot of credit here too. And year after year, kind of flying under the radar where kids went through the Hockey Super League and then progressed to a different organization before entering junior or the NCAA or any number of different routes. They just released another graphic today. The Team Brick team for Alberta made up of well over half of Hockey Super Leaguers. So just a phenomenal job that those guys are doing. And the only tough thing for Silent Ice here is he's going to play for Everett, which is right down the road from Seattle. So the Thunderbirds will be in tough with Landon Dupont about 40 minutes from their building, similar to a Sherwood Park Spruce Grove rivalry. Obviously he's going to go to Everett. That there's no decision to be made there. He's definitely going. But great stuff for Landon, his family. We watched his brother last weekend, who plays for Blackfalds and Nolan. So good stuff for sure there, and just pretty cool to be able to cover it. It only happens once in a while, and for us, it's happened twice in about 3 or 4 years. So pretty, pretty cool stuff. All right, some even cooler stuff here. Speaking of alumni from the Hockey Super League, now to the Spruce Grove Saints, Matt Davis, former goaltender for the Spruce Grove Saints, led them to a couple league championships, just couldn't win the championship. Unfortunately, Brooks was the better team in his time with the Spruce Grove Saints. He's now a proud member of Denver. He's been to the Frozen Four before. He actually won as a member of Denver a couple seasons ago, but now he's the starter. He was the third string back when he was there last. Now he's the starter, and he's led his team to what is potentially another national championship, but he might have to go through Ethan Edwards and the University of Michigan. And Edwards, again, he's been there before. He was defenseman for the Spruce Grove Saints right around the time Matt Davis was a member of the Saints. And he will also skate at the Frozen Four scheduled for this weekend in St. Paul, Minnesota. One team's playing Boston College, the other Boston University. So Matt Davis could face off against Ethan Edwards and all Saint alumni Frozen Four championship. One guy could be crowned an NCAA champion, but another feather in the cap for the Spruce Grove Saints, who have two guys in the Frozen Four. Just seems to be the case all the time, Dino, when we go through these rosters year after year. When the bracket comes out and we get to the Frozen Four, we always see a handful of Saints making it to the tournament, which is just another feather in the cap for the Spruce Grove Saints organization, who I think does a great job at developing these athletes year after year. And from my side, best of luck to Matt Davis and Ethan Edwards, both very good hockey players, very good human beings as well. And you asked us on the broadcast, I don't know who has the edge, the Goldie or the D-man, but in my mind, hopefully they both make the final.
Yeah, that's just the best story, is that let's hope both of these guys get to face off. Obviously, you and I are giving the edge to the goaltender, and it doesn't, you don't even have to tell me the goaltender's name. I'm just going to give him the automatic edge all the time. But this is a great story, just to be able to prevent an all Boston final. I think that's another great story, because BU and BC are powerhouses, but so are obviously Michigan and Denver. And I think this is really cool. I mean, we could be, well, we will be playing hockey and covering hockey at the same time as this is going on. So Saints fans will be able to do a little bit of juggling. It's really cool. I think, you know, just the entire NCAA college sport scene right now has blown up, whether it's the name, image, likeness, or the Caitlin Clark phenomenon that went on with the women's championship, the men's championship wrapped up. So basketball is clear now. Football is clear. Hockey has the stage. I mean, hockey has the whole enchilada of the college sports scene watching it right now, trying to ride the wave of basketball. What a great time to be a college athlete. It's a bizarre time. It's like free agency, but it's an interesting and a fun time for these players to be able to play for a national championship. So let's hope it's an all-Saint final and we get both Saints in that championship, because I think that ultimately would be a wicked story. And you know, that pipeline from, we talked about the HSL right through to junior to the professional ranks, it's there on the men's side, and now it's going to start being built on the women's side, Brandon.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Silent Ice earlier this week. You know, this pumps me up so much, and it's so cool for the female game. Take what Silent Ice did with the Hockey Super League and how they built that up over the last 5-6 years. Well, they're now going to take what they've learned, developed, and done there and bring that into the female game as the Female Super League makes its inaugural debut this September. Great commissioner and Haley Reynolds. She's been around the game time and time again, from you know, this level here where the FSL is going to start all the way up to the pro ranks. And, you know, Dino, do we see a pipeline now from the FSL into NCAA, into potentially the PWHL? And let's just talk about that too. How much traction has the PWHL gotten since it started off, you know, a couple months ago? And there was a lot of skeptics out there that said, oh, they're not going to get any fans. Nobody's going to watch. Nobody's going to pay attention to this. Well, TSN has done a phenomenal job with the broadcasting. I've watched a bunch of them, and, you know, it's been fantastic, no matter if it's in Toronto, Montreal, Minnesota, New York. It looks the same. It's been great there to grow the game, but the fans have been incredible. You know, they keep breaking records game after game after game, where they get to these NHL arenas and they're selling them out, whether it be Toronto or Ottawa or Montreal or Minnesota. It's incredible to see. And so piggybacking off that, to see the FSL, which has been in the works for now a couple of years, actually get to a point where it's going to start recruiting teams and players now, is pretty cool. And we do this for the men's side all the time, and we've had a lot of females go through the system when it comes to the HSL and JPHL, going all the way back to Renna Trembecki and Lily LeKelt. And there's a lot of people that have been involved in it from that side. But now to see an all-female tailored version of the HSL, man, that's so cool. And to have these guys do it, who we know are going to do a really good job, has to be so confident for all the females that are looking to start to get engaged in the game. Well, this is the best path for you, bar none, and taking their talents to this league at the young level. You know, it's such a great thing from Silent Ice, and I couldn't be more proud to be part of the announcement earlier this week.
This is just awesome. I mean, you said a lot of the things that I was thinking in regards to that pipeline. I mean, we see that pipeline. I just talked about it from the HSL into junior, NCAA, and the NHL. And you're right. I mean, this is what the PWHL should be saying. Oh, this is exceptional. Now an entire female independent league. I mean, look at the kids in the Western Hockey League draft every year, and a large percent of them have come out of the HSL. Why? Because skill development is at a premium in that league, and the players will tell you the skill development that they get at that early age has helped him. So we're not just going to see, in my opinion, that we're going to see the FSL and go into the junior of the women's game and the NCAA and then the PWHL. I'm looking at the national team. I'm looking at the Canadian national women's team. I could see some American players saying, hey, I can go up and play in this competitive league. I'm going to come. We've seen Bill. We had a player in the JPHL from Seoul, South Korea this year. We had a player from Sweden. A couple of goaltenders came over. So this is going to put even more of a target and attention on the women's game, and we're going to see those girls make that jump. And I'm going to make like a little bit of a bold prediction here, Brandon. We've got a beautiful arena in Nisku. When the PWHL expands west, and they're going to at some point, don't you think the Silent Ice Center would be just an unbelievable spot to watch a professional women's game? And you got the FSL right in there, and we talk about the continuity between the JPHL and the BCHL and having showcases together. Well, the heads of Silent Ice, Dan and Lindsay, want to grow the game overall, and I could see that being a plan that they look down and say, hey, this is just natural progression. We've got the facility, we've got the vision to be able to build this whole thing.
Couldn't agree more. And you're not the first person to say that either. You know, I think that comment was made when the building first opened and everybody was so surprised there's no anchor tenant in here. Well, it wasn't designed for a junior team off the hop. It was designed to house the HSL, the JPHL, and the academy model that goes with that. And now it's going to host the FSL as well. But to your point, when the PWHL does expand, is Rogers too big? Probably just a little bit. Are they also full when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers, Edmonton Oil Kings, concerts, events, other things they have in there? Probably is a little bit as well. Would they play a game or two there? By all means, sure. I would love to see that too. But to have them as an anchor tenant at Silent Ice Center with all the bells and whistles that are in there, I think would be fantastic. The crowd would be wicked every night. The atmosphere would be that of probably the top-ish in the league. You know, the comment's been made, and I don't see why it couldn't happen. And when the PWHL does decide to expand west, you know, I would totally, if I was, you know, the powers that be, put our name in the hat to try get the team at least some of the time at Silent Ice Center. And you mentioned Silent Ice Center as well. And why don't we touch on the other event that was announced there last week? And that's the Grand Slam of Curling coming in November, a national event from coast to coast to coast. It's on Sportsnet, televised right out of the beautiful Silent Ice Center. And credit a lot of work there to JJ and Chad as well, who brought that event in. And it's all online at silentice.com. You can check out the details. But the best players, you know, in the country are going to be at the Silent Ice Center just 40 minutes from where we record this show. Very cool, again, to see the world lay their sights on Nisku and the Silent Ice Center, speaking of that building. And to your point as well, no reason why the PWHL wouldn't give that place a look.
I agree. You can check out silentice.com. You can also read about the new JPHL franchise coming out of Moose Jaw, SoSask HC. So things are really, really growing on the independent stream, including with the amazing announcement of the Female Super League. All right, our final story, and this is the one that we're directly going to be involved with starting tonight. Okotoks, Spruce Grove, and the playoffs are here. I mean, like I said, it just just feels different. It smells different. It sounds different. And this is going to be great. Also, for me, a new building. I've never been to the facility in Okotoks, so I get to check another one off my list. But I said, and you're going to hear it with Rob, but I think that the Saints have a few key positions that are that can post an upset in this series. And for the first time in a long time, they are the underdogs in a series.
They are. And we've talked about that narration or that storyline before, you know, especially when playing Brooks. It's almost as though I wish the Saints were the underdogs in years past, because it appears they play better when the pressure's on and they're under the bright lights. Now, of course, I say that now, and it's all going to depend on what happens later on this evening. But for Spruce Grove, what do you have to lose? You're the fifth place team coming in to play the fourth place team. You're not maybe playing with house money per se, but a little bit, where you're going to go in there and do your absolute best. And Dino, the series is not lopsided maybe as much as people think. If you look at the season series this year, Spruce Grove has won four. They've lost four in regulation, lost one in overtime. So it's dead even aside from one overtime game. And yes, Okotoks finished with nearly 20 more points than the Spruce Grove Saints, but they're head-to-head very close. Okotoks not so great in their last 10, 2-7-1. Spruce Grove 4-5-0-1. So maybe a slight edge there coming in. You look at the top dogs on both teams. Well, first off, you got to turn your attention to Sam Hawk, who has been absolutely phenomenal this year. He's got 20 points, 9 goals, 11 helpers. And on the Saints side of things, you know, you got some guys up there as well. You got Babich, Ethan Sundar, and Dylan Reptash all sitting with 15 points in the BCHL. And they haven't played that many games in the BCHL. A couple things that I would stress for the Spruce Grove Saints when it comes to keys to success. First off would be the power play. Power play has been bad in the last couple of weeks. Needs to get a lot better. Your power play must have success in the postseason to win games, win series. They do have a better power play than Okotoks on paper. The Saints PP, 18.2%. The Okotoks power play, 9.1%. So they have the edge on paper, but can they translate that into the game? And you mentioned it with Robin. You mentioned it on our broadcast a couple of times, but I got to think the Saints have the goalie edge here as well in the tandem of Alex Scheifler and Ryan DeCook. We've made the joke before, but having two A1s is critical when playing back-to-back games. Wednesday, Scheifler's going to go, thanks to Rob's insight. Thursday, DeCook's going to go. But does Okotoks have the same capacity in Kingo and Green to make this happen? I'm not sure. Time will tell. But the power play and the goaltending for me, Dino, the top two things to keep your eyes on in this series. And you'll be alongside us for all of it as the host, getting insight and stuff from ice level. What do you think are the keys here in this one? And needless to say, we're so fired up to get this party started on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, cliche, but your best players have to be the best. So that's your goaltending. I think they have the goaltending to upset. And, you know, I was looking at some of the guys going into this in the season series, and a guy like Ethan Sundar, Ryder Mader, the captain, half of his points this season since they joined the BCHL against Okotoks. Sundar has, I think, 10 of his 15 or something like that, or 6 of his 15, and they both scored, or they both were successful in that regular season finale. So those are the guys that are going to have to be huge for you, the guys that have carried the mail for you against this Okotoks team, and, you know, not giving them any kind of an opportunity to go and any kind of life. I thought on Sunday, the Saints gave Okotoks a little bit of life, but then they were able to snuff it out. So it wasn't the worst thing. You just don't want to give them any kind of life when the puck drops for real. So I think it's going to be a fun series. And, you know, I certainly don't think we're going to see a sweep. I think both teams are very, very close. And you're right. I think the Saints have the goaltending. And I think goaltending is ultimately key when you're trying to pull off an upset.
For more on the series and for more on Silent Ice hockey development as a whole, let's go over to the GM of the Saints and the VP of hockey development at Silent Ice, Mr. Rob Sklaruk. As Game Changers continues this week, we're joined by the GM of the Spruce Grove Saints, Rob Sklaruk. He's also the VP of hockey development at Silent Ice. And Rob, why don't we start with the upcoming playoff series here against Okotoks, the wild card series in the Alberta division of the BCHL, and maybe not the season the Saints would have liked standing wise, but I felt like the team was much better once they joined the BCHL. Can you summarize the year a bit and then talk about the upcoming series here against Okotoks?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year for sure, guys. You know, the upcoming series, I think we're looking forward to it. There's been some huge change, especially in January with our last game on January 20th versus Okotoks. We've heard some rumors that they were going to be able to shut us down and not play any games, and it snowballed into something that we feel was a great change. And our first game in so-called BCHL was February 2nd against Sherwood Park. We got the win and got off to a really good start. You know, we played 19 games since then, and we got ourselves into the 5-4 play-in series against Okotoks, which starts tomorrow night in Okotoks. And you're right, Brandon, maybe it was a season that was a little bit awkward, but coaching change, a whole bunch of new players and new personnel joined the team. And I thought just recently, with the past 20 games, that our game has sure changed. It's evolved to more of an old Saints style of play and fast, aggressive, and a high paced game. I think the coaches have done a well job to get us to this point. And you know, as we all know, that anything you do when you get to the playoffs, anything's going to be able to happen. So, you know, we're hoping for some good things. We had a good couple of days of practice. And we'll see where this thing goes starting tomorrow.
Well, you win your first game in the BCHL. You win your last regular season game in the BCHL. So at least you bookended with a couple of victories. And I've said this for the last couple of weeks, going back to the game in Black Falls a couple of weeks ago where I was down there with Brandon, is you show me a team that upsets another team and I'll show you a couple of good goaltenders, or at least one. And I honestly look at your goaltending, whether it's DeCook or Scheifler, who goes in there, I think you have upset-type goaltending. I think your goalies give you a chance to win every night, and that's what you can ask for, being a lower seed going into the playoffs. It's a weird situation for the Saints to be in, to be able to embrace this so-called underdog role, but you have the goaltending to do it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree. Both would be great. Both are have a willingness to learn and get better every single day. You know, Brad Guzda has been down. He's our goalie coach for the past couple of days working with the guys. But both have been tremendous. Both are high compete goalies. There's some internal compete between the two of them. Obviously, Alex is going to get the start for tomorrow, and to cook back here on Thursday. So that's the biggest thing. That we made the coaching change and we got Ryan, and one of the first questions he asked, he goes, "Who's your goalies?" And like I said, like with strong goalies, you know, it's with strong showings, kind of like between the pipes, gives you kind of a, you know, a stability on the backside that they're going to be able to make some saves, keep you in games. And you're right, Dean, you're rolling these playoffs with two competitive goalies. You know, anything's going to be able to happen, and they're going to give us some really good minutes, some really good starts.
Well, you heard it first here that Alex Scheifler is getting the call in game one, Ryan DeCook in game two. Breaking news. No, that's excellent. And more towards the BCHL. You mentioned in my first question, it was a weird time for sure. It almost looked like COVID for a second where the players didn't know what was going on. But obviously a way better ending now than we had during the COVID season. Just from our perspective, I mean, the business side, the media side, I think the league's much more involved. The direction is much more clear. And I think it's better overall for the players. But from the hockey side, what have you seen so far from the BCHL? And do you think this has been the right move?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, like I said, you can go back to the past 20 games of the shortened regular season that we had with the Fab Five teams, and every game's been like a game seven. It's been high competitive games. You know, the game plans have changed. The coaching had made some strategy changes, and it's been great. Our games have been tight. They're high fast game, high paced game, and that's what you want. I mean, you know, we like I said, we were in the AJHL, and you know, things were kind of flatlined, and you know, maybe guys were waiting till they get to the more higher paced games, and all of a sudden, boom! On February 2nd, we're thrown into this shortened game of a regular season, and turns into every game felt like a game seven. You know, and it's accustomed to the guys, you know, rolling into tomorrow's game, and you know, hopefully if nothing changes, get off to a good start and see what happens. So I think like that's a good thing. You know, fans have supported us. The community has embraced it. You know, our last game against Okotoks on Sunday afternoon, we had over 900 fans, and it was great. And it's only going to grow with the excitement and the high competitive games.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that, you know, it's a Sunday. It was beautiful outside. I mean, it was so nice walking out of the rink and the sun was still shining and almost 1,000 people. I think that really shows that, they wanted to win Alexis maybe, which almost came close, but they also wanted to see a really good game of hockey, which you did see. And, you know, I said it as soon as the switch was made, the pace increased. Why? Because the officiating was a little bit different and games were faster. And I think that allowed you guys to try to play that Saints, as you said, fast paced, aggressive sort of hockey. And, you know, we're going to get a taste of it when the Alberta champion meets the BC champion. And then we're going to get a whole meal next year, like a 5-course dinner of all these teams coming in. Just what do you expect and what should fans expect next year when we routinely see teams from across the border coming into to Grant Fuhr Arena? And then we'll get to the new arena in a second. But when they come into Alberta, what should fans expect?
Yeah, you know, they're going to get the same thing of what they just watched. You know, anytime you can taste some new blood and get some new, you know, some new teams and some new rivalry started, it's only going to benefit the league and benefit the players on growth and development. So we're really looking forward to it. You know, over the course of this summer, is our recruiting like has changed. We're able to broaden our horizons and you know, get out in some rinks and try and prepare for next year. And we want guys that are committed to play the game a certain way and to be, you know, high character guys that want to come to the rink every single day and get better. And that's what the league is. It's you know, like I said, it's a high fast game. You know, it's an in your face, lots of structure. But you know, you bring in, you know, teams want to see, or our fans in Spruce Grove want to see some, you know, a little bit of change and some new teams with, you know, with Penticton's coming in and Chilliwacks and Vernon's. I think it's going to, you know, they're going to be able to experience a new look, a new vibe, a new atmosphere coming in. So I think we're all looking forward to that.
Well, Dino kind of mentioned it, and so did you, about just the tightness of these games. And there was over 50 games played in the Alberta division since the transition happened, and 50% or more of those games decided by just one goal between all of the teams. So super close, entertaining hockey all the time. And that entertaining hockey is now going to transfer from the Grant Fuhr to the new Civic Center, hopefully at some point in the early 2025 calendar year. And for you, Rob, you've been with the Saints, obviously all at the Grant Fuhr Arena. You spent some time with the Eagles at the beautiful Glenn Hall. But for you now to be a part of designing a dressing room area, space for the guys to come in every day and be a part of building an arena almost from the ground up now, and a legacy project, if you will, in the city of Spruce Grove. What's that been like for you, and how pumped are you to get into that barn, hopefully early next year?
Yeah, you know, a lot of work behind the scenes by JJ Hebert and Chad Holman, Lindsay LeKelt and Dan LeKelt. You know, we have the opportunity to decide something from scratch, which we have about 7,500 square feet of dressing room facility underneath the stands that will be the state of the art. We just had a walkthrough of the arena and what's been in front of us for the short time, and you could see it forming, and you could see, you know, the atmosphere kind of starting and building, and we want to get into it quick. But just the exposure for our players, the accessibility for, you know, our fans to come and watch a game. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time to kind of just, you know, we get into the rink and we get into a routine on game day and the lights and the fog and everything. But for what the Grant Fuhr Arena has provided us and the city of Spruce Grove here, and the history that we'll leave behind here, and the banners hanging on from the rafters, this was a very, very intimidating place to come into and win games. And, you know, all the North teams, we were in the North division of the AJHL, they had to come through Spruce Grove. They had to come to the North if they wanted to win. So the history that we're going to leave behind here. And then we're super looking forward to the new trends and the legacies that we'll leave behind in the new Civic Center. So, you know, everything entailed, Brandon and Dean, it's been fun to be involved with it. You know, as little as, you know, as you walk into the office space and everything's going to be new and nice, you know, bells and whistles everywhere. But, you know, from what I've seen so far of the room design that that Lindsay has put together has been simply amazing. And it's only going to get more exciting as we get near, like near the opening date.
Well, we said on the broadcast the day that it was announced, when the announcement went out, that the long goodbye to the Grant Fear started then. And man, it's going to be something. And you're right. I mean, when an opposition, let's say, you know, a young 16-year-old in his first playoff appearance looks across and sees all those banners and, you know, you hear the crowd behind him or they hear the history, you know, it's just, it does take a while to build that up in the new arena. So hopefully you can take that over from the Grand Fuhrer. But what do you think it's going to be like? It'll probably won't kick in until next year that, wow, this is the end of quite a great era at a great arena.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the move. I mean, you know, Brandon and I have been together for the last, you know, 7 years, and when this Grant Fuhrer Arena comes alive for like for game time, it's very hard to replace. So, I think that we're excited to get into the new arena, feel the support from the fans, you know, with a nice big Videotron that we're going to be having, right, Brandon? And just as this thing's going to grow and you know, when people come watch game, it's going to be, you know, entertainment value, not just the value on the ice. You're going to be able to see, it's going to be, you know, in between the whistles and in between the periods and, you know, all that stuff's going to grow. You know, as soon as that sliding door opens, when, you know, we leave our dressing room, like onto the ice, it's going to be electric. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, a fun place to be a part of, the growth. And that's just the way the game's going. It's big entertainment, not just on the ice, but off the ice. And, you know, people want to come in and really enjoy, you know, what they're going to be able to see. You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Brandon and his team and everybody else is going to make it fun for everybody. You know, we're open to have an exciting product on the ice. That's what we're building towards. A little bit of an awkward change and, you know, starting the season off here at the Grand Fuhrer and then, you know, moving over to the Civic Center. But, hey, listen, we want to be the best and we want to be the best place where we can be able to attract hockey players and develop them. But they also need the best facilities to kind of grow and grow within.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, we've had some dry runs now at Silent Ice Center where we got to play with those toys a little bit and now to maybe be in charge of, you know, the game presentation and how things work from top to bottom each and every night. It'll be a treat for sure. And like you said, it's no longer just a hockey game. It's more of an event for people to come to. And, you know, they're going to come and bring their kids and see themselves up on the video board, park for free. And maybe you do steal some fans from the Oil Kings or something like that, where they want to come to Spruce Grove and see the Saints instead and get a little bit of a better bang for their buck, so to speak. The HSL and the JPHL, they've been a big part of Silent Ice as they continue to grow those leagues over the last couple of years, the HSL over the last half decade or so. But we're now starting to see some of the JPHL players make their way into the junior ranks. And on your side, we got guys like Ryan DeCook, Matthew Lessick, next year Adam Perron, and the list will continue on from there. As the VP now of hockey development for Silent Ice, what have you seen from those couple leagues and, you know, morphing that into their transition now into junior hockey where you oversee them as a manager?
Yeah, you know, it is a full integration model where, you know, we can get them at a young age and we can work with them and, you know, speak the same lingo, you know, talk to our coaches who are going to be developing these young athletes. You know, so I think it bodes well that that we can get at them and get our hooks at them at a younger age and watch them develop and watch them develop. You know, once they get to a certain age and they get into, you know, from the HSL into the JPHL, you know, it's more of an elite stream. And that's the most exciting part is we're excited for, is that we're able to, you know, to learn about these individuals, have a big say in their development, like program their development path. speak the same language, the terminology, and they get into the JPHL, the opportunity is going to be theirs. We want high character kids, high class kids that want to come to the rink every day and get better and love the game. That to me is, you know, is a win, and we got full control over that. And I don't think there's very many organizations that can say that. So we're super excited to work with these athletes and make them hockey players and make them love the game and you know, provide opportunity.
Well, I just think it's so amazing the development, as you talked about. You can go from, and there will be a time where kids are just going from the HSL straight into the JPHL without having played minor hockey or a different kind of academy. It's a perfect pipeline, and then right into whatever junior level that they can aspire to play to. So I think it's great. And then, you know, just this week, Silent Ice announces the female Super League. So it's not just looking at one area of the game. It's really looking at all areas of the game. I can only imagine, you know, it's been less than a year since I came on full time. I can only imagine what it's going to be like 5-10 years. But the vision is very grand, and you've been around Dan and Lindsay LaKelt. They don't often do things in a small way. They do things in a grand and a great way. So the conversations that a lot of people have as dreams kind of become realities in Silent Ice Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah, they you know, Dan and Lindsay have kind of gave us the tools to take this thing and run with it, and you know, there's a big demand that we make sure they're on the right path of developing all these athletes, and that's the big part for me. And there's some real good people that are involved in the organization that are in it for the right reasons, and we're able to collaborate as a group. We're able to fine tune a few things and be involved and be kind of a hockey power that it's like I said before, that not many organizations can kind of fall back on. So all that stuff for us, the end result is to, you know, get these kids playing the highest level possible. You know, obviously not everyone's going to be playing for the Spruce Grove Saints, but you know, there's going to be opportunity, you know, with some other organizations and some other DCHL teams. And that's the exciting part. So it's good to be involved. It's nice to be involved. But as I said, a lot of credit goes to, you know, Steven Gertson and his group you know, all the good people that we have working like underneath us, working together and trying our best, you know, our best foot forward and see what happens. But it's been a fun ride to, you know, until now. And, you know, I know the Titans season ended maybe a little bit earlier than when it was supposed to be, but you know, with the likes of Cole Cronowin, Owen LaKelt, and Joseph Quintilio, who were high recruits for us, it's exciting stuff for them. It's not just the Titans group. It's all the JPHL teams that we're able to grab. I mean, look where Ryan DeCook has got himself too. He's getting some D1 looks and some schools kind of breathing down his throat, and that bodes well. What he's able to do as a rookie is, to me, has been unbelievable. And where's his growth going to even grow even more? So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on Cookie, for sure, among all the others. Incredible rookie campaign. If it was still the previous league, even this one, you know, in my vote, he would have been the rookie of the year. Fantastic stuff, Rob. Thank you very much for doing this. Best of luck here in the wild card series against Okotoks, and then we'll chat further as the time continues along, maybe once more this season, but for sure next season, especially before the move to the new arena. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Good job, guys. Thank you.
Really appreciate Rob taking the time to join us today to speak about the series and some other stuff going on at Silent Ice and how the vertically integrated development model continues to rise. HSL, JPHL, Saint Seattle, what have you. But very cool for him to say they're on the same development plan now, almost like a European soccer model where they're talking the same language, they're doing the same breakouts, they're doing the same power plays. Obviously, it'll advance as time goes along, but they're in the same foundation from day one, potentially 7 or 6 years old, all the way now up to what could be 20 when they move on to the next level. So very cool to hear from Rob as insight on what the hockey trajectory looks like if you're a member of the Silent Ice Sports Entertainment Integrated Development Model. And To send us to break and end the show here today, we'll take a look at the Saints' big win over Okotoks last Sunday in their final regular season home game as they hope to continue their winning ways tonight against the Oilers in Game 1 of the Alberta Division Wildcard Series. If you're listening to this in the morning, awesome. Be sure to tune into the broadcast tonight. Flow Sports, Saints Radio Network, 6:45 p.m. Myself, Tyler Woak, and Dean Millard along for the ride throughout the entire postseason run. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ready to roll the season finale from Spruce Grove. Up top, Evan Sundar at the circle. Threw it back door, and Ethan Sundar missed the net. Oh my. Getting it off. Balmung, cross ice, Evan. Back door, and Ethan Pinburst this time as he scores. First, you don't succeed. Try again. And Ethan Sundar now able to laugh it off as he's given the Saints a 1-0 lead.
His seventh goal of the season. He just has a big wry smile on his face after his brother had set him up just seconds earlier with an absolutely wide open net that he jams back across the green. But again, the Saints do a great job of moving the puck east to west, having bodies going towards the front of the net. And Ethan just goes towards the net. Evan throws it on a platter. Stick on the ice, easy goal. Saints up 1-0, less than 7 minutes into this first period.
Looking for it, picked up by Mader. Mader up the middle, handing it off left side. Pastani walking, firing, back door, they score! Ryder Mader on a beautiful pass from Teo Pastani. And just like that, a post at one end, a goal at the other. It's 2-0 Spruce Grove.
Win a face-off at one end, create offense on the rush opportunity as Mader was the man who carried the mail up the ice, kicked the puck to the left side to Pastani, and then Mader just busts straight towards the front of the net. An easy tap-in.
Now converge as McNally runs his man over. McNally behind the net, waiting. Ashton McNally. Surveying, going up top, Mangle dragging, firing his shot, he scores! Jed Mangle with goals in back-to-back games. The four vengeance bump is 3-0.
Mangle finding his scoring touch in the latter half of this year. McNally with a great cross-zone pass from the left corner to the right point. And Mangle finds a seam as McNally slows things up down low below the goal line, absorbs some pressure, finds Magro, who gets his hips around that shot and zips that one to the blocker side of Mikhail Kingo, and the Saints now up 3.
Knocking it down, here's Furkus, a sharp angle shot denied by DeCook, rebound dropped down, now Evan Sundar forced on it, comes back up top, quick shot snatched by DeCook off Tapper as he flashes the leather and hangs on. Tapper working his way up ice. Tapper down low, bodied by Adam Lang. What a check that was as he was cutting from east to west. Puck sent back in. Pastani, the lead feed down low. Back pass in front, and Kingo got out to make a beautiful poke check on Kirkpatrick, who was pulling it back across the green. That would have been a back up ice led by Silverberg. Silverberg couldn't slip it down low. Caught the skates of Sundar. Up top, Hawker walking, firing, he scores. Not sure if that got deflected along the way or it went straight in. Nonetheless, Okotoks is on the board. Brennan Hawker has made it 3-1. Along for Ethan. Ethan Sundar onside, firing a shot block. Rebound there, they score! Steven Kirkpatrick on the doorstep. And Spruce Grove has restored their 3-goal lead. It's 4-1.
Is it team leading 8th of the season in the BCHL? And there you go, a turnover at the offensive blue line for Okotoks. Gets transported and transitioned very quickly up the ice. Ethan Sundar recognizes he's got a lot.
Danny up top, gave it away. Furkus is going to have a breakaway. Slade Furkus in on goal, fires, and it just stays out. It was on the line. The puck looked right, the puck was left. Okotoks, McNeil working in far side corner. Fed it middle, Tapper tipped it up and over the net. Tapper on it, one-timer, spot turned aside. Rebound also denied by DeCook. Excellent goaltending without his stick at that. Babich surveying, delaying, middle. Kirkpatrick back to Babich, and he put it off the side of the net. He couldn't believe it. As he tilts his head skyward, puck will pop in front. Evan Sundar jumping at it, held in by Lang. Lang down low, backdoor pass just missed. And Evans waiting, firing a pinballing shot, knocked down in front. Mader scores! Ryder Mader with his second of the hockey game, but he's gonna get it taken away, as apparently he knocked down the initial shot with a high stick. And now shoveled down by Magaron. Puck up top, McNeil, an attempted shot, they score! Couple big collisions, and then the puck sent down low, fired into the St. Nets, believe tipped by Dean Spack, and Okotoks has made it 4-2.
Yeah, I mean, done here so far through this hockey game.
Off the faceoff, Adam Lang, gonna get this out, comes down on the tap rail, feed it backdoor, quick shot, they score! Dean Spack again, and suddenly it's a one-goal game with 2:53 left.
Well, Spack with two quick goals in very quick succession. We'll have full, healthy lineups that they want to have. Nobody's sitting out resting.
Oilers win the faceoff. One-timer hook blocked in front by Magrill. He'll clear it all the way down the ice. Not enough time for the Oilers. Sam Hall, one last chance, and that'll do it. Jed Magrill, a massive block with just seconds left. The Saints hang on for a 4-3 win in their season finale. Now looking ahead to game one in Okotoks on Wednesday.